I'm Josh Quaddy, college-age minister at the church here at College Heights, and we are doing a series on emotional health, and this is the third week in our series, and we are talking about anger this week, which is way more common than I think any of us would want to admit, and I'm not even sure it's a bad emotion to have, but anyways, we'll get in a little bit, and today sharing a little bit of their story is Jake. Jake, how you doing?
Doing good, Josh. Nice to be here. Thank you for having me, and yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're willing to come and kind of talk about it. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right, so my name is Jake Painter. I am the second oldest of five children. I got two other brothers and two sisters. Grew up in San Diego, California, so I spent the first 15 years of my life out there. And then we moved back here when I turned 15, and so went to high school at College Heights, which is here. Mm-hmm. And now I'm at Missouri Southern studying criminal justice. This is hopefully my last semester. Everything goes well.
Yeah.
And yeah, we'll be done.
Yeah. And so what do you want to do?
I'm hoping I'll do military as soon as I graduate. And so I'll head back out to San Diego and to the naval base out there. And then after that, hopefully be a police officer in either San Diego or possibly Texas, maybe back here. There's a lot of options.
Why Texas? I haven't heard this one before.
Texas, so many good benefits. No state taxes, okay. Just, yeah, lots of money for lots of action. It's okay. Going to be awesome.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So, okay, so we're talking about anger today, which is an emotion that some of us, you know, a lot of us have maybe taught is a negative emotion, which is crazy because I see in the scriptures, I see Jesus get angry. I see God get angry, and I don't see them being, like, reprimanded. You know, like those are acceptable emotions. So would you describe yourself kind of as an angry person or someone who's dealt with anger before?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely. Especially when I was younger, very angry. One time in particular, we were homeschooled, and so my sister, I hated math. I was never good at it, still am.
Okay.
Not good at it. My sister was just messing around next to me, was not doing anything. I'm trying to focus on this math test. And I told her, I said, hey, you say one more word, I'm throwing my pencil at you.
Uh-huh.
And she said another word. And so I chucked this pencil as hard as I can. And I hit her right in the forehead. She was bleeding like all over the place. Like it was bad. It was really bad.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think sometimes anger is actually, you know, tied to different things than we think it is. You know what I mean? Okay, so sorry. So that was an example of an anger time that you had. How does anger manifest itself with you now as a college student? I mean, I hope you're not still chucking pencils at your math teachers.
Yeah, no. So I think that's a common misconception people have is like you're not actually angry unless you're being physically violent. Mm. And that's definitely false. Like there are other ways to exhibit that anger, such as, you know, maybe not talking to somebody, ignoring them, or talking behind their back. There's a lot of subtle ways to be angry with somebody or to have that anger and deal with it in a negative way. That's for sure.
So what do you think are some of the roots of anger for you?
So for me personally, well, if you ask my mom, she says I was just born an angry person.
Yeah.
Very stubborn. I had my own way and I was going to keep it that way.
Yeah.
Also I'm just very much black and white. I like having, you know, things be the way they are and, you know, no gray areas, just, it is the way it is. And so, you know, having truth is important and people that counteract that makes me very upset.
Yeah.
You know, I want to know what's right, what's wrong. I think another part for me personally is that anger comes from a place of abandonment and hurt, just with my past story and with my dad leaving and just having people let me down constantly, you know. It's just kind of something I realize is like people let you down. And so because of that, all right, I can't trust them. And so anger is a way to really, it's a really powerful thing. Like it makes you feel strong, it makes you feel independent, the sad thing is, though, it isolates you from everybody, and it keeps you from having relationships that you need, people that can feed into you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I think just the biggest one is the abandonment and then just being very stubborn in my ways and wanting right and wrong to be right and wrong.
I gotcha. So some of this might just be your just personality.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
And then another part of that, like you said, is you just have a really big fire for right and wrong, I'd even say justice. Like when justice is done to someone, you feel that anger.
Mm-hmm.
which is a lot of times in the Bible whenever we see Jesus upset, is that injustice.
Yeah, definitely.
And so there's some really cool stuff there. And then you talked about your dad leaving. How old were you?
So it was, let's see, I was 12 years old when it happened, roughly. And so he left, and it was just it was more devastating because, you know, we were a Christian family. So I was taught if you just pray hard enough and you know, pray to God, he'll take care of everything and it'll be fine. And so as a young kid who believes that wholeheartedly and just, you know, is just putting himself out there to God and just pouring himself out, like, you know, please let this, you know, let this pass, this storm go through and help my dad to come back and be the dad I remember. And to have that just stripped away, it's very hard. And so, I mean, I just went to the exact opposite of, you know, okay, that's it. Never again am I going to let somebody get this close where they can hurt me like that. My relationship with God deteriorated because I'm like, okay, you said you would help and you did nothing. Like, you stood by as this happened, not just to me. And this is where the justice part comes in, but to my siblings. Like, to watch my younger siblings have to go through, you know, this pain and suffering to grow up without a dad almost hurt more than it was just happening to me. Because, like, you know, being the older one, yeah, I can take it. I can do this. I can, you know, protect them. And I can't do that when this happens. And so it really led to a lot of anger towards God, towards my dad, and then towards other people, because I just refused to let anybody get close to me, anybody to have any contact with me at all.
It's almost like anger, just anger at injustice done to you, and not just by your dad, but you said other people have, you know, broken your trust and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Is something you use to protect yourself from getting hurt again.
Yeah, definitely. Anger is, so for me, it was very powerful. It was, you didn't feel anything towards other people. It would just, so if there was a situation where I got angry, let's say, like, one, for example, my, you know, my friend just saying something stupid on the court as we're playing, like, that anger just becomes powerful because you no longer care about, you know, yourself getting hurt, other people getting hurt. It's just all about how can I put myself in a position of power over these people and gain control. It's all about having control. And so it's very dangerous because, yeah, you end up hurting other people and you isolate yourself. You know, it feels good because you're not feeling any of those negative emotions that make you feel hurt. But the thing is, with that position of power, you're also killing yourself at the same time. You're, one of it was, so just physical effects, like, so for me personally, I started developing ulcers and all these other problems with just constant being uptight, being, you know, angry at everything, just at the quick snap, just ready to go in this negative state, always being in a negative state just deteriorated my health. On the other side, you know, and it's also relationally. Nobody wanted to hang out with me. Nobody wanted to talk with me. It was killing my relationships with my siblings. And so I was becoming more isolated and more alone. And it was just leading towards a very bad place. But I didn't see it because from my perspective, oh, this is a very powerful thing. I like the way this feels, not having to feel.
Wow, that's really powerful. I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah.
That's some really personal stuff, especially if you're like trying to protect yourself all the time. For you to be this vulnerable to share, this is obviously a big deal. So, you know, I've known you for the past couple of years, you know, and getting to know you pretty well. I've seen you not exhibit a lot of those kind of same behaviors. What have been some of the things that have helped you? So, like, there's the, I think there's some positive being mad at injustice, you know, and wanting to do something about it and trying to fix solution. And then there's more of the negative side, which is that self-protection. How have you worked on the self-protection side while empowering the injustice side?
That's a great question. So my mom really noticed it, and she really took an or made an effort to focus on getting me away from the negative side to the positive side. Because like you said, there is positive anger. Like Jesus got angry and it was a righteous anger and he, you know, flipped the tables, went into the temple and, you know, cleansed the house of God. And that's a righteous anger.
Yeah.
And so my mom really focused on making me go to the Bible and find areas where it talks about anger and the negative effects of anger, but also the other side where there is that righteous anger and and so that was a big part, was really just taking the time to, you know, look at the Bible and what does the Bible say about anger and understand it from that perspective. But yeah, as far as good and negative anger. Like, I still have a problem with the negative anger and, mm-hmm. you know, pop up, especially in sports, like intramural sports and stuff. Yeah. I play a lot of those and I get pretty heated sometimes. Yeah. But you know, really being able to distinguish between the two is when it comes to a situation, I have to step back and I have to ask myself, okay, where am I coming from? Why am I angry? And so sometimes let's say, for example, it's, you know, seeing a kid at school who doesn't have clothes is having a tough time. And, you know, you can see them hiding food in their pockets to take home because they don't have any food at home. Mm-hmm. And I get angry about that. I'm like, okay, well, that's not really a bad anger. Like, I'm upset for him because he doesn't have, you know, these certain things that should be required to him. Like, where are his parents? Why aren't they taking care of him?
Yeah.
And so stepping back and evaluating that, yeah, that's not a bad thing to be upset about. Like, yeah, that's an injustice. It shouldn't happen. It can become a negative anger, though, if I then take that out upon his parents or just start spreading rumors and stuff, you know, that kind of thing. Then it becomes negative. And so it's being able to evaluate oneself and one's feelings and where are these coming from that can help you distinguish between what is a healthy anger and what's a bad anger. Because that can, the healthy anger can drive you to do good things.
Yeah.
So for me as a cop, like, that's a big thing. I want to help people that are being bullied or put down, help bring them up. And so it can be a good thing, a very good thing for sure.
Yeah. So then how have you learned to trust people again?
That's a difficult one. For me personally, I'd say I'm honestly not even where I need to be. Like, yes, I've gotten better and I've been able to open up to people, but it's been a very hard thing to do. Like, I've had to sit down and actually say, okay, like, you are purposely removing yourself from situations, mm-hmm. purposely doing things to avoid connecting with people. And so what I decided was, I think it was my sophomore year of college. Yeah, so freshman year, I would just go to class, go to the gym, all this stuff. And it was very much like I had been my whole life of just focusing on myself and just being by myself.
Right.
The difference is in college, you're not forced to be with the same people 8 hours a day, every day.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I had no friends in college, none at all. And so it was a very lonely time. And I was like, okay, how can I change this? Well, the only way to do that is to open up with people and talk with people.
Yeah.
And so I said, okay, what's the best way for me? How have I connected with people in the past? And it's always been sports.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I did. I said, okay, I'm just going to sign up for every intramural sport, get on teams, and I'm just going to make an effort every time we go out. It's only an hour. So I just, for an hour, have to try and interact with other people. And so that forced me to get to know a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it helped me realize, okay, you know, people aren't that bad. And you can, like, you don't have to, you know, bring them in immediately and just tell them everything about you and your life story. But you can at least converse with them and develop friendships.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of where that happened. Like I said, still at a point where very distrusting of people, especially people I first meet.
Mm-hmm.
I immediately just have a wall up and I'm, you know, oh, just go to this dark side of, yeah, okay, they're probably against me or there's this or that or there's that. And so I still have a long way to go, but that was something for me that self-evaluated, figure out what was going on, and then found a way that still felt somewhat comfortable to step out and meet other people where they're at.
Hmm. It's interesting how, there's so much self-preservation and all that, you know.
Yeah.
It's like people can hurt me, and we want to go either extreme. Some people are like crazy optimists, and they want to trust everybody, right? And then on the other side, you've got people who don't trust anybody no matter what.
Yeah.
And I tend to think that most people, you know, want what's best for at least themselves, if not others. Right. But their own stuff gets in the way. And I always kind of tell students like that I'm around, like, I don't even want you to trust me as much as I want you to trust that God's trying to do something in me and give me loads of grace.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to mess up and I'm going to make mistakes. But hopefully Christ is going to work in and through me despite my mistakes.
Yeah, definitely.
And so it's not even me that they need to trust because, you know, I'll make mistakes. That's Christ in me. I don't know. It's tough. And I appreciate, honestly, your choices and your movement to like put yourself out there.
Yeah. And that's probably the big thing is, you know, everyone thinks, oh, it'll happen naturally, or, you know, it'll come to me, or this and that. With just about everything in life, you know, you're not going to get a job unless you go looking for it. You're not going to have this opportunity unless you go looking for it. And that's just a fact of life. You have to be willing to step out. And same thing with the church, too. Like, you have to be willing to step up and step out to do what needs to be done. You can't just be content with coming to church on Sundays and calling it good. Like, you need to be willing to, because I've seen it happen, especially with my family and stuff, when we first moved back here. Like, we went to a bunch of different churches, and it was like, yeah, it just doesn't seem to be working out. The real problem was we were expecting the church to fulfill all our requirements. We did not change our view and say, how can we come into this church and fulfill, you know, the requirements that they need? How can we be of service? And on top of that, if there is something that we feel is wrong, how can we change it instead of just leaving?
How can we make things better?
Exactly.
Instead of just pointing out the things that are already broken.
Yeah. And so it's the stepping out act, especially with this too. You know, you got to be able to step out there and put yourself, make yourself vulnerable to other people.
There's a lot of maturity in the things you talked about, because none of that stuff is easy.
No, it's not.
And especially when you have real legit reasons to not trust the church, to not trust people, to not trust situations, to go, no, I'm going to proactively do those things. And so would you say life is better now for you because you've made those standards, because you've pushed yourself out there? Are things, has that been helpful to you?
Yeah, I definitely think it has been, you know. Humans, we're social creatures, and we need to have those relationships. And so part of that is, developing close friendships with one or two people, and then you can feed off of them, and you can help them along their path and the things they're struggling with, and vice versa, they can help you. You know, I talk a lot about self-evaluation and being able to evaluate yourself, and that could be a very hard thing to do, but it's really good to have somebody else's view. You know, if you're in the middle of a court case and you're just looking at it from the witness's point of view when he's first examined, you know, you don't get the second opinion that comes with the cross-examination that can point out all these different flaws. So you may see something that seems, okay, yeah, that's one thing I need to work on, but I'm pretty much good on everything else. And somebody else sees something completely different. And so you need to have those people there that can feed into you and really help you become a better person.
Those are good words, and I appreciated how you used an example from your major.
Yeah.
Criminal justice. It's so like a court of law. Everybody knows that.
Oh, yeah. Everybody, yeah.
I haven't used that illustration in a long time. Awesome. Well, Jake, I really do appreciate you sharing your thoughts, your story, your struggles, and even some of the tools that you've had. So thank you for sharing with us today.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. So, like I said, this our third week of our emotional series talking about anger. So this podcast today, there's another one that's dropping tomorrow with Dr. Shane Wood and Olivia, who interviews him about anger and his own personal struggle with anger and more tools and tips to be able to go, how do we not let this control us? How do we understand it a little bit better? And so that we can actually utilize that to help benefit others and not destroy ourselves and the people that are around us. So make sure you check that podcast out. All of this is online on our Instagram page at CH College Age, where you can follow along with any of these stories and scripture verses all week long that accompany these as well. So thank you for listening to our podcast today, and we hope to have you follow along and join us in our discussions.